the way we are and the way we were and the way we shall be. It's interesting what God does to you when He saves you. And I suppose I could have wandered through life and perfectly saved and heaven bound and ended up in heaven by the shed blood of Christ and by His mercy and grace, and never really understood much about myself, because the night I got saved, I sure didn't understand much about myself at all. All I knew was I was me. Is, am, are, was, were, be, been. I was me. And I knew that me didn't have to go to hell, and me was very happy about it. But I couldn't anymore have told you which part of me was body, soul, or spirit. I was just a frightened boy who didn't want to go to hell and got saved. And you know, I wandered through most of my life and didn't even understand myself and didn't even understand what Christ had done, and it wasn't anybody's fault but my own. It's because I never looked in this book. But by the time I got to be in my 30s, I began to be interested about this thing was going on inside me. I said, there's a bunch of me in here. I knew I didn't have multiple personalities, but I knew there was a part of me that was absolutely rotten. And I knew there was a part of me that was always wanted to do the right thing, never wanted to do anything bad. And I knew there was another part of me that kind of liked both of them. And he was caught in the middle, and it was a mess. And so I thought, man, how am I ever going to understand myself? I came across the scripture that indicated in Hebrews, in the 4th chapter, that God's Word was able to divide between my body, soul, and between my spirit. And I knew that the only way I was ever going to find out about myself is if I understood me from the way that God understood me, because God made me. I knew God understood me, but I knew I didn't understand myself, and I knew the only way I was ever going to even start to try to understand myself was through what God had to say about me. Man's condition when God breathed life into him. This was when God first formed man. It's called the Age of Innocence. In Genesis 2:7, we're told, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." All of a sudden, that clump of dust that God had made into a man, he breathed into it his life, his soul, his spirit, and the man became alive. And the very life that God gave him was God's spirit. Man was spiritually alive toward God. And there he was, a body made of the dust of the earth, a fleshly, real body, a spirit of God, and a soul in between the two, a merging of the two. You know what happened. You know Adam's sin. You know the second Adam was Jesus Christ, the last Adam. And you know he came with a mission and a purpose. He was going to undo, make up for, give complete reconciliation, complete redemption for the mistake the first Adam had made. And so in 1 Corinthians 15:45, it tells what the second man, the last Adam, is like. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, God's spirit in him, body of flesh, and a soul in between. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Why was Christ made a quickening spirit? Because he had to bring back to life that old spirit that died toward God when Adam sinned. And he had to rejuvenate it and bring back life to the soul. The physical man still had life. So he didn't have to bring physical life to that. It had physical life. So he came to redeem and save the soul and awaken the spirit so that the soul would have a guide to follow and battle against the flesh for the rest of that individual's life after Christ quickened or made him alive by the new birth, which happened when the person came to Christ and asked for salvation. This is man's condition when God breathed life into him. This is when man was in the age of innocence. He had no sin. The Spirit of God comes into man to give him his living spirit. This is when God first formed man, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So the Spirit of God comes into man to give him his living spirit. Man's spirit is alive to the world, the devil, through his soul. In other words, he's alive to the awareness that of the devil. He can communicate with the devil. He can talk with the devil. He can see the things in the world. He can touch the things in the world. He can comprehend the things in the world. But he's not sinful. But he can communicate with the devil. But he's not under the domination of the devil. And he's created by God. And he's without sin. Man's soul. He's alive to God's spirit. and to his own flesh. He can communicate with his own spirit. He can communicate with his own flesh. He can understand the difference between the two. At the same time, the soul is alive to the world, the devil, through his flesh. The soul can communicate to the world. He can communicate to the devil. He's alive to the world. He can see, taste, touch, and feel. He has the five senses. And he also can communicate with the devil. The body, the flesh. The body or the flesh, at the time that God made Adam, was alive to the soul and to the world. He could communicate with the devil. He could see the things in the world. He was alive to the soul. And he could actually communicate and understand the spirit because he was alive to God's spirit through the soul. In other words, he had to come through the soul in order to communicate with the spirit. And the spirit communicated through the soul with the body. It was the age of innocence. Man had no sin. He was created a living soul. And it was a wonderful state of affairs. When Adam sinned, man suffered spiritual death. He did not suffer physical death. His body continued to pump blood. His heart continued to pump. His lungs continued to take in oxygen. They continued to process, which kept him physically alive. He did not die mentally. When Adam sinned, man suffered spiritual death. Spiritual death equals separation from God's love. Now, God's life equals eternal. People argue all the time, would Adam have lived forever? Well, in my opinion, yes, he would have. Because what God breathed into him was his spirit, which is eternal. But when man sinned, a tremendous transformation changed in man's connection, association with eternal life. God's life equals eternal, so when man sinned, man's life became temporal. His physical life had a limit. The days of man shall be 70. And once he sinned, you can see the vast age that the patriarchs lived. Even after his sin, there were still very long periods of time that people lived. But as man stayed longer and longer on this earth and became more and more sinful, man's life expectancy shortened and shortened and shortened and shortened. Man's physical life after he sinned was no longer going to be forever. It was going to be temporal and last only a distance of time, and then it would go back to dust from which it came. In Genesis 2:17, we're told what caused the actual spiritual death of man. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God says, don't eat of it, you'll die. What is sin? Sin is disobedience to God. All they had to do was don't eat of that tree. Man had a free choice, and he chose to eat of that tree, and he knew what he was doing. He could see the woman had already had a transformational change. She wasn't the same anymore, but he wanted that woman more than he wanted God, and he chose to let her lead him to eat of that fruit. Notice the transformational change. Before they did this, why, they could just talk with God. The spirit could talk with God. The soul could talk with God. And even the flesh could understand and be around God and not feel that he was bad and sinful and wicked. But look what happened after they disobeyed. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. For the first time, they tried to hide from God. They've been trying to do that ever since. The first thing they tried to do was cover up what they were. They ran around and gathered the best thing they could find, which were fig leaves. They made themselves some coverings where they couldn't see their private parts. And the first thing they did was immediately, they were ashamed of what they were and what they'd done. They knew they could no longer stand in the presence of God. They were scared to death of God at this time because of what they'd done. Their whole countenance changed. Today, it's no different. Most people say, well, I'm as good as anybody else, and they try to cover up what they are. They have all sorts of imbecilic excuses to justify why they're just as good as other people, and in some cases, they're better than those people down at the church because those people down at the church are a bunch of hypocrites. But they're not. They're trying to be good, but those people down there, why, they go to church all the time, but they do this, they do that. They're accusers of the brethren. They're dwelt and led by the spirit of Satan. But they won't acknowledge it. They won't admit it. They won't come out of hiding. That's what happened after man sinned. So what kind of a condition was man in after he sinned? Well, that's pretty easy. Here's the condition his spirit was in after he sinned. spiritually separated from God's Spirit. The Spirit was still alive to the world through the devil and through his flesh, but he was totally depraved. He was spiritually cut off from communication or existence with God whatsoever. What about the soul? Same thing. Spiritually separated from God's Spirit. Alive to the world, the devil in it, through his soul. He's totally depraved. The body, flesh. Spiritually separated from God's Spirit. He's alive to the Spirit through his soul, but his spirit is corrupted just like he is, and he's totally depraved. So man's condition after he sinned could well be summed up in this one general expression. Body, soul, and spirit totally depraved, totally separated from God's Spirit, but still very much alive toward the world physically. After we get saved, and there's nothing we can do to save ourselves except claim it and believe it. When I was saved, here's how I got saved. And if you're saved, this is the way you got saved. Now, you might not have felt it from the top of your head to the tip of your toes, and a bolt of lightning and electrical charge may not have gone through your whole body. But after you got saved, you had an inward relief that you weren't going to hell. Now, after you got saved, you started to doubt your salvation. You started to do a lot of things because your flesh is still carnal and cannot believe in God. But nevertheless, you've been aware for some time, if you're saved, that there is a new spirit inside you that just bugs the dickens out of you to do what's right. John 3:6. Spiritually dead man after being born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You were born spiritually dead and physically alive. After you got saved, here's what happened. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must. No ifs, ands, or buts. Ye must be born again. The word again is from above. When you were born again from above, all of a sudden, you were a new creature, a new creation in Christ. All of a sudden, Christ was inside you. And all of a sudden, he was trying to get you to do right. And he's been trying to get you to do right ever since. And there has been a battle that has waged in your life. That's why God sent his Son. That's how he came to seek and to save that which was lost in 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul, but he sinned. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit, and he never sinned. It gave him the right to condemn sin, to put it to death in his flesh, and to forever stand before God as our justification and as our continual lawyer and advocate and intercessor with God. And the only reason God accepts us is because of the righteousness of this man who loved us and gave himself for us. Okay, now what is man like after he's born again? Well, let's take a look at his spirit. Christ's spirit quickens man's spirit to eternally reunite it with God's spirit. That's what happened the moment you got saved. The regenerated, changed spirit is alive in Christ, and Christ is alive in him. We're going to take a look at these scriptures in just a moment, 1 John 3 and 9. What about the soul? Soul is made alive and sealed eternally to God's spirit through Christ. It's still alive to the flesh. It's still alive to the world, the devil, through the flesh. What about the body? It is still spiritually separated from God's Spirit. It is still spiritually separated from God's Spirit. He nailed it to the cross. He nailed it to the cross, and it's still there. He didn't bury this with him. He didn't resurrect this with him. This isn't going to be resurrected until what we call the rapture. This was nailed to the cross because your sins were put away, that were because you knew you were a sinner because of the law. It was nailed to the cross. So the body, the flesh of man, is still spiritually separated from God's Spirit, but it's alive to the soul and the world and the devil. It is still totally depraved. We're going to take a look at these scriptures for the spirit, body, and soul and examine them very quickly. And Lord willing, tonight I'll come back to the born-again believer after physical death. What happens to the soul after physical death? Where does it go? What does it do? And what happens to the spirit after death? And we're going to take some scriptures and examine that. But for right now, let's talk about man's spirit. Spiritually dead man after being born again. Christ's spirit quickens man's spirit to eternally reunite it with God's spirit. The regenerated, the changed spirit is alive in Christ, and Christ is alive in him. 1 John 3 and 9. So why do we Baptists teach that you can't lose your salvation? Why do we teach there is no way that God would ever condemn someone who had come to Him through His Son? Why can't you lose your salvation? Why do we have this expression we use, once saved, always saved? Because of these scriptures. Let's take a look at 1 John 3 and 9. We're talking about the Spirit. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. It was a spiritual rebirth. He revived your old spirit, and He came to live in you Himself by His Spirit and in His Spirit, and His Spirit and your spirit are one. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. That part of you that always knows what to do and what's right, that part of you that you fight against and a lot of times won't pay any attention to, that's the part of you God gave you after He saved you. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. Your spirit will never sin again once you're saved. Never. Christ is there. He keeps him from sin. He protects him. And he does not sin. You know him. You know him well. As you've studied God's word, you've gotten to know him better. And he's taught you what's right and what's wrong. He's taught you what God likes and doesn't like. And you know him. He's that part of you that you know wants you to do the right thing and tells you what's the right thing, and you just won't do it. And do you know what you are? You are the soul trapped in between the flesh and the spirit. Take a look at spiritually dead man after being born again, the spiritual side of man. Look at Romans 4, 7, and 8. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. God has buried my iniquities on the cross. They are nailed to the cross, and I bear them no more. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. That's my favorite verse of all songs that we sing. I love it because it's true. My spirit cannot sin, because Christ is there to shield it and protect it forever. My sins are covered by His blood. My iniquities are forgiven forever. Verse 8, Romans 4, 7, and 8. Blessed, Makarios, ecstatically happy. That's the reason I like that verse so much. That's why I love to sing it. That's why I sing it from the heart. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. God imputed the righteousness of His Son to me, and He will never impute sin to my spirit. I am going to heaven. When my spirit leaves this body, my soul's going with him by the grace and mercy of God that's in Christ Jesus. Well, now what about this character known as the soul? This is a poor fella. It's me. This is a really poor fella. The moment I was saved, God made my spirit perfect. And God saved my soul, and He sealed it. And He'll never leave it nor forsake it, and it is going to heaven. Just as sure as my spirit's going to heaven, so is my soul. But my soul's got problems. He's caught between two different things in life. One pleasing to God, one displeasing to God. The moment I was saved and the moment you were saved, you were made alive and sealed eternally to God's Spirit through Christ. Your soul was. This is about your soul. Your soul was made alive and sealed eternally to God's Spirit through Christ. But unfortunately, your soul is still alive to the flesh. Unfortunately, he is. And the flesh has contact with him. He is alive also to the world and the devil through the flesh. Let's take a look at the soul. And as you go through here, see if you can identify yourself. I can identify myself quite well. Now, your sin may not be what my Achilles heel is, but I know you've got some kind of sin. It may be jealousy, hate, envy. You just can't quit talking about other people. Judgmental. You've got something that bugs you, and you know it's wrong because the Lord bothers you about it. Romans 7:21 to Romans 8:2, continuous. Paul said, I. Every time you see a personal pronoun here in here, or a derivative thereof, I've got it underlined in blue. I is your soul. God saved your soul. He sealed your soul. He'll never leave it. He'll never forsake it. It's going to heaven. But man, your soul has got problems as it goes through this life. because it's having to choose between God and mammon, and it's a minute-by-minute daily struggle, and nobody but you and God can do it, and it has to be through that book. He said, I, the soul, find in a law that when I, the soul, would do good, evil is present with me. What is that evil? That evil is the flesh, which is not changed, and is just as sinful as it was, and will not be changed until the day it's resurrected. Verse 22, for I, the soul, delight in the law of God after the inward man. What's the law of God after the inward man? That's your spirit. Christ's spirit quickens man's spirit to eternally reunite it with God's spirit. The regenerated, changed spirit is alive in Christ, and Christ is alive in him. And that new law in you is your soul, and it will not sin. Well, my soul delights in the law of God after the inward man. Man, I like him. He's wonderful. He's perfect. He's marvelous. I like everything about the inward man. I love him. But I'm the soul, and I love the flesh too. And I love the things of the flesh. And sometimes I'm overwhelmed by the flesh. Whose fault is it? Me, myself, and I. Who is me, myself, and I? My soul. Oh, I would to God as a soul I could follow that spirit all the time. And God knows I'm like Paul. I understand. I want to. But this creature in my flesh, he's a horrible creature. But now I can at least fight because I have Christ inside me. I couldn't fight until I was saved. Now I can. Now I can turn to Christ. Now at least I have a choice. Verse 23. But I see another law in my members. He says, for I, the soul, delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I, the soul, see another law in my members. My members, the members of the soul, my body. What is this other law that is not the law of God after the inward man, the spirit of man, the inward man? But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. Ah, the law of my mind is where the Spirit of Christ dwells, and I have the mind of Christ. The question is, will I let this mind be in me, which was also in Christ Jesus? And bringeth me, the soul, into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. There are times when I let my soul, I just don't want to put up with what that Spirit's telling me. I don't want to listen to what God's got to say. And I go ahead and I carry out this thought that I have to the point where I have sinned mentally against God. I'm so ashamed of myself. I'm the soul speaking to you. I'm so ashamed of myself I could get out and cry. But the only thing I know to do is to confess it, tell God I'm sorry, let him pick me up again, and keep on fighting. Oh, wretched man that I am. This is the soul crying out. Oh, wretched man that I am. I, the soul, am. Who shall deliver me, the soul, from the body of this death? Listen, if I didn't know what this verse meant, I'd go out of my mind. I know my spirit's sealed. I know my spirit's perfect. I know my spirit's good. I know it's of God. I know it's going to heaven. But how in the world am I, this sinful soul that lives inside me, that sometimes yields to the flesh, how on earth am I going to get to go to heaven? He tells you. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. If he had not nailed the sins of my flesh to the cross that were under the law, if they were not taken out of my way, then I, the soul, would go straight to hell. But God paid the price for my sins of the flesh, and even though I, the soul, yield to him, God does not send me to hell for my sins of the flesh that I yield to. God forgives me, and God takes me to heaven, the soul, anyway, and I am just as heaven-bound as my spirit by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord that I'm going to be delivered, me, the soul, from the body of this death. So then with the mind, the spiritual mind that God gave me, I myself, the soul, serve the law of God. There are times when many times when I, you know, God's Spirit said, don't do that. I don't do it. There are many times God's Spirit moves on me and I run over here and I get this book and I do what he says. Many, many times. But you know what really tears my soul apart? All those times that I do what God wants, I don't even think about those. I just think about the times that I do things that I shouldn't. And God lays them heavy on my heart. I'm glad he does. If I got to looking at the times that I followed God and got to boasting about it and sticking out my chest and saying I'm a goody two-shoes, then I'd think I was something special. And I might not even realize how sinful I was in the flesh. But I know who my deliverer is. And I know who I serve. I serve Christ. But sometimes I serve with the flesh the law of sin. But I want you to notice what he immediately says in the next verse. Romans 8:1. There is therefore, as a conclusion, since I'm going to be delivered, my soul, there is therefore no condemnation to them who walk, to them which are in Christ Jesus. I am in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You say, well, you just got through telling us you walk after the flesh sometimes. But until I was saved, I never walked after the Spirit because I didn't have the Spirit. Now I have the Spirit. So I am saved. There's no condemnation for me in heaven. I'm going to heaven because I have the Spirit, and the Spirit leads me, and He will never leave me nor forsake me, and God will not impute sin to my spirit. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. These are scriptures that are very important. We've got a baptismal service, so I'll cover them very quickly. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. He lives in me. He won't ever leave. His seed stays in me. But my soul does grieve Him, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. My soul is sealed to the day of redemption forever. I can grieve God's Holy Spirit. Do you know how I knew my mother loved me? Because I would do things Mom didn't want me to do, and I'd go right ahead, and I'd do them anyway. She never stopped loving me. That's just a mother's love. My mother would say, Tom, don't you take that strip down there tonight. I had a strip down car. I'd get right out there and slip out and take it. You know why I did it? Because I knew Mom wouldn't forsake me. If I had thought Mom would write me off and tell me to get out of the house and leave, I wouldn't have done it. But I knew I could take advantage of my mother. Why? Because I knew how much she loved me. You say, that's terrible. I know. Do I ever take advantage of God? Yes, all the time. If God had said, Tom, if you do one thing wrong, I'll kill you. You know what? I wouldn't do very much wrong. I wouldn't. I do some things wrong, but not near as much as I do. I take advantage of God. I'm not bragging about it. I'm very ashamed of it. But you know why I do it? Because I know how much He loves me. Because I know how much He cares for me. Because I know He'll forgive me. You say, well, if you've got that sort of attitude, He won't forgive you. Oh, yes, He will. I've got 55 years of this behind me. I know how many times He forgives me for the same sin. I know how merciful and gracious He is. Somebody that really loves you, you know you can take advantage of. Some of you sitting right here have really good parents. You know that if you got real mean and did something real bad, they'd still love you, wouldn't they? Well, God's a million times greater in love and mercy than they are. Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you. He's inside your soul, and He sealed you, than he that is in the world. I've got an advocate with the Father. I don't take advantage of God as much as I used to. Lord knows when God first saved me, I took tremendous advantage of Him all the time. But you know what? As I grew older, I quit doing that to Mom. As I grew up physically, and I saw how much she loved me, and I became a man, I quit doing that silly stuff. And Mom was very satisfied with me. I grew up physically and came to know how much my mother loved me. Well, I've been growing up spiritually a little, and I've learned how much God loves me. So now I don't take advantage of God all the time. But I'd be a liar if I said once in a while I didn't take advantage of Him. He knows it. And He still lets me grieve Him and doesn't throw me out of the house and say, you don't belong to me anymore. Here's what He requests. I never came to Mother and told her I was sorry, but what, she didn't forgive me. Not once. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If my mother, who was an imperfect, sinful human being just like me, could forgive me, oh, think how much more God, who is more gracious and merciful than all of us together, perfect in His mercy and love, how many times and how often He'll forgive us. If we say that we, the soul, have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. My soul has sinned. Oh, I know in the Old Testament it says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's why Christ came. Because He put away any sin of the flesh that would ever condemn me back under the bondage of sin and put me back under the condemnation of God. When they nailed those things to His hand and He shed His blood on that cross, He nailed it to the cross so that my soul, which does sin, could go to heaven. Could go to heaven by the mercy of God and grace that's in Christ Jesus. What about the body and the flesh? There's only one way to describe it. Romans 7:18. For I know that in me, that is in my soul. No, He didn't say that, did He? For I know that in me, But he wanted to make sure we understood this. He said, no, I'm not saying this sinful thing dwells in my soul. For I know that in me, and then he put in parentheses to make sure we got the point, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He said, this thing in my flesh is a thorn. For to will is present with me. He had a saved spirit, sealed, perfect, just like mine. It was the spirit of Christ that had awakened his old spirit, made him alive by the new birth. Well, I've got that in me, and my soul is in constant communication with it. But there are times when the world overwhelms me, and so help me, something happens, and I'm just about like I was 2 weeks after I was saved, and I'm as childish and immature as I was then. What do you do? Well, I run back to the Lord instantly, and he restores me to fellowship. He said, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Well, it's a battle. How well that battle you fight affects your children. It affects those around you. When I first started preaching, I was a very carnal man. I'm still carnal in the flesh. But my life did not match what I preached. Hopefully, as I've grown older, my life begins to match what I preach. It's very hard on your children when you grow up. They grow up, and they see your lives, and they see you one way at church and another way at home. It's very difficult for them. So it's something we do to our own children. Fortunately, our Heavenly Father doesn't have that problem, because everything he ever did, he showed in Christ Jesus. And you never saw Christ Jesus get to the point where you could say you don't practice what you preach. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God put the church down here for us to be in so we could serve him in spirit and in truth. This morning we're going to baptize someone. And she's a lady from, her name's Nielsen.